Welcome to Hype episode 171. We're back with another week of exciting entertainment news, stories, and discussion. My name is Selena and I have Pam here with me. Hello.
Hello.
We are always really excited to talk about the latest news because there always seems to be something at the moment anyway that we are very excited about. And this week we have a wide variety of stories, you know, ranging from some stuff that we're super excited about to some stuff that we might be like less excited about. And that's all I'll say about it because we'll get into all of that when we get to the news. As always, when we start the show, we're going to start with the contact information. If you are listening to this and you think, oh, I have a comment about that, or you're like, why aren't they talking about this thing? Then you can let us know by emailing us, which is hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at Hypeable Hype. You can find us on Instagram at Hypeable Hype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can find us on hypeable.com itself, which is hypable.com. You can go to the podcast section and leave a comment on this episode if you want us to see it there. We check all of these places. So anywhere you leave a comment, we will probably find it. If you are interested, Hype Podcast also has a Patreon, which is the place where you can support the show with $2 a month. And then in exchange, you get some bonus content, including bi-weekly videos and a weekly bonus segment, discussion or special feature or anything like that. This week, actually, as we are launching our big Merlin rewatch 2K7/18, we have just put up a really fun flashback episode to myself and Pam discussing. So it's full of spoilers. We discuss the Merlin series finale, which aired in 2012. So this is a five-year-old clip of me and Pam podcasting because that's like how long we've been at this. And it's really funny and it's really sort of interesting to go back and revisit our initial reactions because now, you know, we're older and wiser and much more calm and collected in theory. And we were so young and excited, and it's really fun. So if you're a patron and you support us with $2 a month, and that is available to you. And as for the Merlin rewatch, we are set to begin it very soon. I'm waiting for the DVDs to arrive because otherwise I can't watch them, which is like an unexpected problem we ran into. But we are fixing that, and then we will get started. As for this week's bonus topic, which will be up on Patreon later this week, we're going to be discussing the The Golden Globes nominations that were announced earlier this week. So you can head on over to patreon.com/hypepodcast and become a patron subscriber, or you can continue listening to this free show. It's up to you guys, whatever you want, whatever makes the podcast listening experience better for you. Another thing that I want to say here at the top of the show before we move into how we hype is that there will be no Star Wars spoilers in this podcast. And I say this because I've seen it. Pam has not. I have no intention of spoiling anyone. And I know this episode goes up on Friday morning, and I know the US, most of our listeners will not have watched it until this weekend. So we're going to save all of the Star Wars stuff for next week, and we're probably going to have, if not an extended discussion, maybe a special. We haven't really figured that out yet, but we're probably going to have a lot to say, but not this week. I was listening to another podcast that shall remain nameless, where I was like, I was listening to it yesterday before going to the cinema. I was cleaning, and they were like, oh, I'm so excited about Star Wars. I'm so excited about Star Wars. And none of them had seen it. And they were like, yeah, what do you think is going to happen with this? What do you think is going to happen with this? And then one of them went, well, I don't know, but someone who I know who went to see the movie said, and then like, I flung my earphone out of my ears and threw it across the room.
That's how I feel like going on Twitter.
Yes.
Ever since the US premiere came first, but ever since then, and then like after the Royal UK premiere that happened on, I think it's on Tuesday this past week, all bets are off. everybody's just like spoiling left and right. Just like friendship over to all of you because that's mean.
But it's like people also sometimes spoil without realizing that what they are saying is a spoiler.
I know. It's like, I want to know nothing except for what I've seen in the trailers and that's it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know a lot of people feel that way, so I'm not going to contribute to that. Yeah. But yeah, no, I was like, I was so angry and like, anyway, that was just a long way of saying that you don't have to worry about that on this podcast.
Yeah. Coincidentally, my Howie hype is pre-hype because I'm going to go see it today or tomorrow.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
Tell me your pre-hype.
That's my pre-hype. I'm excited and I have a few more hours left before hopefully I don't get spoiled. That's kind of why I'm trying to go tonight, but I have to be up really early tomorrow. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to stay up because I'm not as young as I used to be. You know, I can't function on 4 hours of sleep anymore. Yeah, but I'm thinking about it only because I know that after everybody goes to see it at like midnight tonight, tomorrow morning is just going to be a madhouse. So by the time I get to the theater, it's going to be like all bets are going to be off, basically. So because that's the thing, you know, Twitter, like you've said many times before, is actually the wild, wild west of the internet. And there's no escaping anything. So
yeah,
especially in our line of work.
Exactly. Yeah, because we can't mute the stuff.
I know, because we need the stuff.
Yeah. But I was actually really lucky. I didn't get spoiled on anything. I went in completely unspoiled, and that's how I like to watch stuff. So I hope everyone else manages the same. And you guys are really lucky because here I am on the other side, and there's like 2 years until the next one.
She's so calm and collected, and Star Wars is like one of your big things.
I know, it's weird. I was saying this to you before. It's like you wait for so long for something. And then you see it, and like now, it's 24 hours since I've seen it, and it feels like it's a month since I've seen it. It's really weird. I'm like already beyond it. It's a very strange feeling. But I do get that a lot sometimes when the anticipation has been built up so long, and then it's like over so quickly, even though the movie is like extra long, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time too, I'm assuming that after you get this next part of the story, your mind is automatically thinking about what's coming next.
Because, television.
So that's probably why it's not that you don't enjoy it. It's just that you're already thinking to the future because you have this next bit of the puzzle and your brain's trying to figure out how that could fit into the grand scheme of end.
Not that I'm confirming or denying that I enjoyed it because I don't want to give anything away. But yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. Mm. So I'm excited for you to see it. I'm excited for everyone to see it. I'm excited to everyone has to send in their thoughts so we can do something, some kind of prolonged discussion either on Patreon or here on the main feed. But I actually also have another hype, which is, you know, me, look at me doing my homework. I feel so accomplished. After talking about it for a couple of weeks, I actually went and read Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. I did it. It took me like a day. It's super short. So it wasn't actually that much of an accomplishment. Whatever, I'm proud. And it was so good. Oh my God, this book was adorable. You're absolutely right about Becky Albertalli. Her writing is just, you just swallow it up like candy, you know? Like, it's so easy to read. It's so enjoyable to read. It's so vivid. Like, I know that this is not like what you're supposed to say about a book, but I could like 100% see how this is going to make a great movie, you know, because it's written so almost cinematically, you know, like it makes a movie in your head. And I think it's just, I had such a good time with it. And I had such a good time with Simon. I thought his friends were really well drawn. I liked, because through the book, you don't really know who this person he's writing to is. And I liked, you know, having these theories along the way and trying to figure it out. And I didn't figure it out. But no, it was really, really, really good. So thank you thank you to the universe for sort of making me read this. And now I want to read The Upside of Unrequited.
Yes, I'm so happy that you loved it so much. It's one of my favorite books that I read last year. And I'm so excited for you to read The Upside of Unrequited because it's equally as charming. It's so good. And leaves you feeling so, both of them, I just feel like they leave you feeling really content. So.
Yeah, definitely. I will have that to look forward to. Moving into the lineup of news now, we have a couple of, actually, we have a couple of really big stories for one reason or another to start the show with. And I think this story broke today. And I want to tackle it here at the top of the show because it is the biggest story, no question, of perhaps even this year in entertainment. It has been official after months of speculation and rumors that Disney has officially acquired 20th Century Fox, which is now 21st Century Fox, but that doesn't sound as good, and 20th Century Fox Television properties to sort of gather them up into, you know, the long arms of Mickey Mouse is gathering all of these properties. First it was Marvel and Lucasfilm, now it's Fox, including X-Men and Fantastic Four, Alien, Kingsman, Die Hard, Avatar. They now have the main share of Hulu. They have the FX networks. They have National Geographic, clearly the one we care about the most. And, you know, Sky, Star, regional sports networks, and pretty much the only sort of remaining main Fox properties that are not under Disney are Fox News, which, okay, fair enough, and the Fox Network and Fox Sports, because Disney already owns ESPN, so they don't need Fox Sports, I guess. This is really big, I think, and I don't think we can really sort of, even going beyond, obviously we can talk about what it means for, like, superhero crossovers, but it goes much beyond that. You know, Disney is a giant that I don't think a lot of companies can begin to measure themselves again. That would have to be Warner Brothers. It's pretty much the only one left that comes close. I think this is a little scary, and I'm curious to hear what you think. Sort of the pros and cons of this.
I mean,
big shift.
It's kind of hard because the only thing I can think of is like superhero stuff aside, which obviously like that can only be good if you're looking for crossovers. But when you look at all of the stuff that like on the TV side or even on like the indie side, like Fox, 20th Century Fox puts out a lot of really wonderful indie movies. They do a lot of like coming of age stuff too. The The Hate U Give adaptation, for example, is a 20th Century Fox entity. And I just kind of worry about, just because Disney tends to err on the side of caution, like how far they're going to keep letting those 20th Century Fox entities push the envelope in terms of telling the stories that need to be told.
Yeah.
So that's my main concern.
I fall completely with you on that one. I think that it's possible to sort of acknowledge all the great things that have come out of Disney. And I don't want to say that that's not true. I don't want to paint Disney as some kind of villain. You know, I think they've done a lot of good. I think we're seeing in a lot of the big Disney franchise movies now that they are making strides towards being more inclusive, being more diverse. And I think I don't think that Disney necessarily is bad, but I do think it's bad that we are limiting the powers, the creative powers in Hollywood. I do think so. And I also think it's very clear, like Disney is great, but Disney has its limits and Disney has its standards. And I think it is very clear when something is Disney and when it's not Disney. You know, like especially these days, like Disney movies are well produced and usually well written and directed. They're usually high quality stories. But I think we can all agree, without necessarily getting too specific, that there are very specific limits of where Disney is going and what their sort of agendas are socially in terms of what kind of world they represent and what their priorities are and what their creative people are working within, what kind of their model for these cinematic universes that they're building. And it comes with limitations, and there need to be other voices and other powerful Hollywood influencers that can challenge Disney. And I think, you know, when we look at something like Fox, obviously Deadpool is a good example, which has been able to push the envelope in a way that a Disney property never would. Now it's Disney. What does that mean? You know, what kind of limitations is it going to be? So I think in that sense, I don't like that. I don't like that Disney is the main thing now. I don't like that they're all coming under. And we know, like, it's very transparent in the way, too, that Disney tries to appeal to certain foreign markets. They're worried about certain censorship problems. There was this whole, like, the LGBT question is a big one because it's something they very sort of, I think, very deliberately have not done in their movies. And something like when we were talking last year about Doctor Strange and the Tibet issue, that was a Disney issue because they didn't want to piss off China. You know, just things like that, that makes you just, you know, it's fine that Disney is doing what it's doing, but they can't be the only big company doing something. And anyway, it's not like it's the end of free expression or anything, like we're painting it a little bit of a doomsday light, but I don't like it. I don't like it's getting so much power. I don't like that it's taking over all of these big properties, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I guess you could argue that the same reasons why you might be apprehensive in terms of limiting the ability to tell grittier stories could also be, it might be a non-issue. Maybe it's Disney's foot in the door to release darker movies under another entity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like it could honestly go either way. But at the same time, it's kind of like when you look at these two companies, if just like putting it into perspective from like a superhero standpoint, just because I think that's something we can all relate to really easily. It's like you can't imagine Disney making a Logan or letting a Logan go forward.
Yeah, right.
So what does that mean for the future of anything that could have been? Not necessarily what's going to transpire, like that's already kind of in the works. So I don't worry about like a Deadpool situation because Deadpool's already set and done. I kind of just more worry about the future and the limits to other potential projects.
And a lot of it does have to do with leadership too. Yeah, like Bob Iger is obviously the CEO of Disney, the movie production studio, and he's decided to stay on for a couple of more years as a result of this deal. But when he eventually leaves, hopefully, there could also be new leadership. Like Disney is a big machine, but there is always room for growth and change. As for obviously the only other thing that I wanted to say on the story is that the part of them buying out Fox and their properties means that the upcoming Disney streaming site is going to have a huge boost of content that can go on there. And I think we're going to find it increasingly difficult for other streaming sites to compete, you know, obviously with the exception of Netflix, which is not. And now that Disney is a major shareholder in Hulu, you know, we might be looking at like the eventual end of Hulu because Disney's going to swallow it up, right, at some point. So it's just some things to be aware of and look out for. I don't know how this might potentially positively affect me, because if they do some kind of international streaming deal, then I have access to all the entertainment projects that I currently don't. Who knows? But creatively is where I am hesitant to be excited. Like, I don't care about an X-Men and Marvel crossover movie. Like, I just want diversity in terms of voices being heard and the types of story that fits into Hollywood. You know, I don't want Hollywood to be standardized in the way that Disney is standardizing its properties already. So any final thoughts on that? Or
no, I think we kind of hit the nail on the head there and covered all aspects. But as always, write in and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
So we're moving into a bit of a heavier topic, but one that this is kind of the story that we've been waiting for. I feel like everybody's been waiting for the needle to drop in terms of the controversy surrounding Johnny Depp's casting in Fantastic Beasts. Harry Potter is obviously a really big part of Hypeable's origin story. It's played a huge part in all of our lives, and the decision to keep Johnny Depp on in the midst of Hollywood kind of turning this new leaf and holding abusers accountable for their actions has left a lot of people, rightly so, very unsettled. And some people, like, you know, just maybe don't care as much, but it should be noted that, like, you know, we had a very deep discussion about the Hollywood sexual assault situation a few weeks back. And the conclusion we came to, it's like, it's your right to feel unsettled about certain things. And if you don't care, that's okay too, but you should always support the people, you know, that do care or that are impacted, because we don't know why that's the case. So long story short, J.K. Rowling has been fairly silent on the subject, and then she made a statement finally regarding the Johnny Depp Grindelwald casting controversy back in the beginning of December. And this was not the statement that many fans were expecting her to make. So basically, the gist of this is that she said that both she and Warner Brothers struggled to come to terms with what they wanted to do, and then allegedly looked at all of the factors and decided that they were comfortable keeping Depp on the project and also were thrilled to have him. And it sparked a lot of debate amongst the fandom online after this came out. And a lot of people were very disheartened by what she had to say. WB followed suit with a statement of their own, which was a little bit shorter. They also kind of reiterated what Joe was trying to say here. There's a line in their statement that's very important to the next part of the story, which says, this matter has been jointly addressed by both parties in a statement in which they said there was never any intent of physical or emotional harm. And this is where things kind of start to get a little bit tricky, because shortly after this happened, Amber Heard, who was, of course, the victim of assault in this case, took to Instagram to seemingly accuse WB of cherry picking the statement. She released the full statement that both she and Johnny released right after this all came to a head a few years back, and then commented, for the record, this was our full joint statement. To pick and choose certain lines and quote them out of context is just not right. Women, continue to stand up and stay strong. Love, Amber. So that was a very big stance that she took in terms of disavowing what both J.K. Rowling and WB had to say on the matter, and it kind of just added fuel to the proverbial fire. So I don't know what's going to happen going forward, but this is just one big mess. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would agree. I think the Amber Heard statement really sort of seals the deal on how I feel about this, and it already wasn't great. I think, you know, a lot of people have said this already. We're kind of a little bit late to the discussion just because it broke right after we recorded our last episode, but no less worth talking about, of course. And I just think this whole thing is, I've never seen anything handled this badly. You know, every single statement that has come from David Yates to J.K. Rowling to this Warner Brothers statement, they are all terrible. And they are all missing the point. Like, the thing that they are saying, that J.K. Rowling is saying, is, without saying it, is, Johnny's great. I don't think he did it. So I'm going to say, you know, keep him in my movie. And that's like, first of all, that's arrogant as hell. And in a way that just is... The way she writes her statement, whether intentional or not, is incredibly belittling to her audience. It's incredibly belittling to us who have nothing but her words. You know, she's seen people's concern, the ones she hasn't blocked, that is. And she knows why people are upset. She's written a series about a boy who was abused. She has written letters to girls who have said that her story is a safe haven for them. She gets it. But in this statement, she doesn't talk to those people. It's hard to articulate, but like it's not... Her statement is trying to cover her own ass, essentially. It's trying to absolve herself, where it's not about her. You know, it was never about her. And I think at the end of the day, what this statement just completely misses the mark on is that whether or not she thinks he did it, because she doesn't know that she wasn't there, but she can think whatever she wants. She can feel like she has overwhelming evidence that we are not privy to see, that in her eyes absolves him. But that's not the point. The point is that there is a whole bunch of people who looked to her and trusted her and felt that she got them. And she's essentially choosing her franchise over them. That's what it is. And the way she worded the statement, the way she dismissed everyone, whether or not she feels entitled to do so, didn't mean she had to. And I think that's sort of, at the end of the day, her statement really bothers me, because it seems so demeaning and so not compassionate. Compassionate to Johnny Depp, certainly, but I don't think he needs her compassion. You know, I don't think, you know, so that bothers me. But then also, I also think, you know, just to finish my very rambly point here, that I think also, again, the point is not whether or not we believe he did it. It's about a movement that's happening. It's about what the Harry Potter series represents and what Johnny Depp's involvement and her being thrilled to have him represents. And that's what none of these three statements do. They're very, very tone deaf. And then, you know, just to round it off with Amber's statement, which says, basically confirms what we've all been saying, that there is more to that joint statement that Warner Brothers and Joe are using as basically absolution of Johnny Depp's supposed sins, which is neither party has made false accusations for financial gains. That includes Amber Heard, which means she was not lying about what she said Johnny Depp did, if we are to believe the statement, which Warner Brothers clearly wants us to do. So what a mess. What a frustrating situation.
But that's not the part that they quoted.
No, exactly. No, right. Well, I'm just saying there was more to the statement, like Amber
said. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I can't remember who said it, because there was a lot of discourse happening when all of this kind of was dumped onto the internet. But somebody made a good point that, you know, the problem here is that J.K. Rowling, for better or worse, with her words, has raised a generation to do the right thing. You know, there's that whole Dumbledore line in Sorcerer's Stone where he says, it takes a great deal of courage to stand up to your enemies, but even more courage to stand up to your friends. And that's basically what everybody is doing here. It's like we've learned through Harry Potter, you know, making the choice between what is right and what is easy. You know, like it's you should always do what's right and not what's easy. And then to see her kind of take the easy way out here is very disheartening for so many people that have found power in her words.
Mm.
And it's just really sad.
It is really sad. And obviously there is a discrepancy here between what J.K. Rowling believes is the right thing to do and what we think is the right thing to do. You know, because she, for some reason, like I read this tweet and I can't remember who it was from, but said that this is the weirdest, most absurd hill for J.K. Rowling to die on, essentially, Johnny Depp of all things. You know, like J.K. Rowling is protecting Johnny Depp. Warner Brothers and Yates and Rowling are protecting the supposed integrity of Johnny Depp. And that is the most ridiculous, unnecessary thing. He doesn't need to be in this movie. Like, that's the thing. At the end of the day, it's so strange, like, how they're just, and they're thrilled to have him. Why? Why? It's not, I don't get, it's so annoying. He doesn't.
And that's the thing. It's like, and I also want to make clear, like, I don't belittle, like, Johnny Depp's talent, because he's made some really great movies in the past, but to hold him accountable for actions that clearly are still having an effect on Amber Heard is only the right thing to do in the grand scheme of the movement that's going on in Hollywood. Like, and nobody's out to ruin careers here, but like, if someone else, like who, where do we stop when we're dishing out slaps on the wrist? Like that's kind of what this comes down to. And it's like a huge discussion and we could be here all day, but it's a question that begs to be answered and we should be answering it.
Yeah. And it is a blurry line. And we were it's kind of the opposite discussion of what we had in our bonus when we said, well, you know, when people are lobbying these accusations against all these people, do we just blindly believe them? Do we just believe everything everyone says? No, we can't. That's impossible. On the other hand, when do we choose to believe the accused and when do we choose to believe the accuser? Clearly, the public tide right now is saying, well, you have to believe women. You have to believe the accusers. And that's not, you know, that's not justice. It's not a justice system. It's not the court. you know, that's not how it works. But there is something to be said for look at around at Hollywood. Look at the people that are getting fired immediately. Look at the people that get to stick around because they're, oh, such nice guys. Like, there is a discrepancy here, and there's a double standard forming.
It's kind of like, you know, you talked about the court. The general rule is innocent until proven guilty. I think we always we think of that in terms of the person that's being accused, but it also kind of goes both ways, because when you look at the person that's doing the accusing, mm-hmm. like they're mm-hmm. also innocent of this idea that they could be lying until they're proven yeah. guilty. And I think that that's what we yeah. need to remember too, because it's so easy to point the finger one way or the other depending on how you feel.
Exactly. So yeah, there's no real right answer to this, except that it's incredibly disappointing and incredibly off-putting to see them stick their necks out for Johnny Depp on, like, costing them their integrity and costing them the trust of a fan base that has held them in such high esteem and that has trusted them with, you know, a very vulnerable part of themselves. So just very disappointed all around, and I'm not, certainly not very enthused about this franchise at the moment, I will say. So
we'll see. But I will say just right now, because I feel like people are gonna, you know, might take this out of context and be like, but you said, like, I'm not saying I'm not going to go see
boycotting the right, movie. But I'm just saying,
it's just, neither of us are doing that. We're just saying that, look, we're a little bit disappointed with the way that this was handled. That's yeah, all.
For sure. And that's okay. There's more than one, like, there. You can, people are complex creatures and can have more than one conflicting opinion at a time. And I think this is a good example. Because he's just one actor in a movie full of really talented people that are doing an amazing job and that are telling a compelling story.
If all else fails, there's young Dumbledore. I was going to say, we still have Jude Law.
Can't abandon Jude Law as young Dumbledore. Come
no
on.
No way. He's going to single-handedly save the Wizarding World and the series.
What a mess. How frustrating. Moving on to something that I am actually... Here we are, Pam. We're nearing the end of 2017. How the tables have turned, where I'm bashing Harry Potter and going on to talk about how excited I am for Jurassic World.
You know what? I'm not even surprised, because 2017 has been such a shit show.
This is the upside down, officially.
We're in an alternate universe where dinosaurs yes. run rampant.
There are dinosaurs. Yay, there you go. This is the Fallen Kingdom. Anyway, so the trailer for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom dropped last Friday, I believe, or Thursday. And it is so good, you guys. It is so exciting, and none of the dinosaurs are problematic at all. The trailer is a couple of minutes long. It is action-packed from beginning to end. It has everyone is talking about how Bryce Dallas Howard is wearing, like, proper shoes now, which is ridiculous. Like, literally, who cares? Anyway, Chris Pratt is back in the role. The dinosaurs are running loose. And actually, the twist of this movie, like, the story is going a very different place than I expected, because it's actually about saving the dinosaurs and whether the dinosaurs even deserve to be saved, because a volcano is about to erupt on Isla Nublar, which is where the dinosaurs live. And, you know, if they do nothing, then the dinosaurs all go extinct again. But isn't that the way of the world? Or do they have a responsibility to save them? You know, it's a big question. And the trailer looks incredible. It looks like such a good time at the cinema. It's directed by J.A. Bayona, who also did A Monster Calls, which was one of my absolute favorite movies of late 2016. It was beautiful, and I have no doubt. Like, I trust him completely with this movie. I think he's an incredible director. And it should also be noted, actually, that Colin Trevorrow, because people were complaining about how much this movie gave away. So Colin Trevorrow, who directed the first one and serves as executive producer on this one, said that everything from this trailer is from the first 57 minutes of the movie. So that's wild. All that happens in the first hour of the movie. My goodness. Are you excited?
half of me is like, this movie sounds so bad, but I feel like it's going to be so bad it's good. You know what I mean?
It's going to be so bad it's good.
Yeah, it's so, the idea is so hokey and like, but I'm kind of into it. Somebody told me that this looks like a bad made for TV action movie. And I was like, yes, but maybe that's the charm. Maybe that's the charm.
I don't think so. I like legitimately think it looks good.
Yeah.
But I'm so relieved that it's not going. Because you remember in the first movie when they were like, the military was there and they were going to like weaponize the dinosaurs. I did not want to see that story.
No, but I was like, really into it. I liked the idea.
Oh, wait, which one?
I kind of liked, I thought it was, well, in general, I think it's very interesting that they're not following that, like what they kind of started with that.
Yeah.
I think that's very interesting that they decided to kill that, because it the way that the first movie is set up, there is potential to continue following that storyline. But maybe they realized that there wasn't much left to dive into there, because they've already kind of decided that they're going to be fighting against that. So in a sense, it could just be like, I don't know. But with like the volcano storyline too, it's still kind of like moving the dinosaurs, because that's what you would have to do if you were trying to get the military to like leave them be, is like you'd have to move them to a safe location where nobody could find them. So maybe that's what's going to happen here. It's like you're just moving them to save them. Maybe. We'll see.
That's the other half of the movie that we haven't seen yet.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, super excited. This movie comes out in June 22nd, 2018. So only a couple of months, actually, because time goes so fast now.
It really does. Well, here's another movie to maybe be excited about. I can't remember if you're excited about this or not, but Ready Player One is coming.
Oh my God, of course.
Yes.
Our favorite book.
I know. I feel like people are on the fence about this movie just because, like, obviously, like, on the show, we love this book, but also, like, I get it. Maybe if you haven't read it, it's kind of like, is there really any imminent danger if, you know, everything's happening in a virtual reality? There is. Don't worry. It'll be fine. But we finally got a longer trailer for this, and I think that if you weren't hyped for this movie before, you should be after seeing this. I really liked this trailer a lot. I think it did a great job of setting up the story, which is something that the first teaser that came out at Comic-Con was really lacking for people that weren't familiar with Ernest Cline's novel. We get a really good sense of who Wade Watts is. They set up that world really well. They explain the Oasis really concisely, and, you know, there's that imminent threat of danger, and also we get introduced to the big Halliday Easter egg hunt. I'm really excited for this. I kind of want to reread the book. It like makes me want to reread the book.
Well, it doesn't make me want to reread the book, just because I can already see how different it's gonna be.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know. I mean, in some ways it looks like a very faithful adaptation, but we already know that some things are going to be different in terms of how they do the avatars and all of that. So I think I just want to kind of actually like let myself forget about the story that I loved so much in the book, and then try to just enjoy this movie for what it is, rather than, because I think when you're dealing with something that is so visual, like, you will have very specific images in your mind of what you think it should be. So I wanted to like distance myself from that to enjoy this movie and not like compare it to my mental image, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's...
But I'm very excited. I'm very, very
excited.
Well,
this is actually coming out really soon, too. This is set to hit theaters on March 30th, 2018. So not much longer to wait. I feel like it was just yesterday that we were talking about getting this movie greenlit.
Yeah, I know. It's like, again, time moves so fast.
I know.
The one thing that I will say about this movie that I'm a little bit less excited about is I think it looks like a little too... It almost looks like Final Fantasy.
It does, especially like his avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I was like, oh, flashback to like 2009.
Right.
You know, Final Fantasy is like still going, but yeah.
It almost looks like a little bit outdated. And it does. It's weird because it's supposed to be super high tech and it looks like it's 10 years old.
So easy to explain that away too, given the context of like the idea of the Oasis. But at the same time, I get what you're saying. It is a little strange that it does look like very, you know, 2009 Final Fantasy.
Right.
A little bonus story here for those of you that are also really excited about Ready Player One. Ernest Cline announced earlier this week that he's officially working on a Ready Player One sequel, which will I'm sure, please fans of the books, because it does leave things very open-ended. Yes. He said during a Facebook live stream, "It's true, I can't talk about it too much, but there's no better inspiration for a writer to return to a world they've already worked on when they're watching Steven Spielberg bring that world to life." So it sounds like he's been very inspired by what they're doing in the cinematic universe for his book. And if anybody's going to inspire an influx of pop culture references, I'm assuming it would be Spielberg, because he's so embedded in the fabric of pop culture. So,
That is always good.
Yeah, things. I'm sure it'll be a while before we get our hands on that, but it is exciting to know that it's a spark of creativity has been reignited in his brain. It's kind of a question that fans of the book have had for a while. So, here's hoping that he follows it through.
He's got to call it Ready Player Two, right? Or else what's the point?
I would assume.
Although he could call it Ready Player One, Two.
What if it's Ready Player... Oh, no, that's a spoiler. I can't say that.
Okay.
Well, I guess, like, I could make it up. What if it's really Ready Player Two, but it's from another person's perspective?
Oh, my God. Yes.
I know.
That would be great. So we have another trailer now, and this one is, I'm so stoked for this one. And actually, it's funny because the two trailers are very alike, and they look alike, and the style is very similar. It's kind of funny. So this is for my favorite movie that I might never get to see, guys. This is, okay, I'll get to that in a second. Annihilation, which already had one trailer out a couple of months ago, has a second trailer out, which is much more expansive. And much like the Ready Player One trailer explained the Oasis, this one explains the Shimmer, which is where this fantastic team of female scientists that include Tessa Thompson, Natalie Portman, Gina Rodriguez, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and no, wait, not him. There's no men on this team. But those four go along on the expedition into a mysterious part of the world where they're like mutated animals, and it's all very beautiful, but it's also very deadly. It's like dreams and nightmares come to life. And they go in there because Natalie Portman is trying to save her husband, played by Oscar Isaac. Oscar Isaac! Yay! He can stay. So she heads into this territory that apparently nobody ever returns from, except he did, but he's in a coma, and it's all very scary. It's directed by Alex Garland, who also did Ex Machina, also with Oscar Isaac, and of course adapted from the book by Jeff Vandermeer. And this trailer just, even more than the first one, it got me really, really excited. We got to see more of the team, we got to see more of the Shimmer. It looks just visually stunning, and it looks like, you know, The Martian meets Hidden Figures. It's the perfect film, I think. It's going to be very hard for it to let me down.
I'm so in love with the idea of the cast for this.
Yes.
And give me all that sci-fi goodness. So I'm here for it.
I'm so happy with all these female-led mm-hmm. sci-fi movies. Like, we had Arrival, too. You know, we had Gravity. We had, even though I didn't like that one. We had the other one in space I didn't like. You know,
I like how you appreciate it anyway, though.
Yes, exactly.
This is why you're the best. But yeah, and also, like, I just from a selfish standpoint, I'm just really excited to see Gina Rodriguez do more than comedy.
Yes.
She's so good at that. But it's really fun to see her step out of kind of like that box that she's not that she's in a box, but just because, like, you know, she won the Golden Globe for Jane the Virgin. It's so beloved. It's so great. And she does so good in that. But it's really fun to see, like, when actors show us, like, the range of what they can offer the world. And it's going to be really fun to see her do something completely different from that.
Yeah, she's the one I'm most excited about, I think, out of all of these people. But, you know, that was the second part to this story, is that we just learned today, which was like a devastating twist. This movie, right, comes out on my birthday on February 23rd. It's my favorite movie. I'm so excited. Turns out that Paramount has rolled back its release. So it's only going to come out now in America and China and like somewhere else. And then the rest of us will not get it in cinemas. And it's set to come out on Netflix in most territories, like after it's done being in cinemas over there. So,
what? How do they?
I know.
Didn't they know that Selena Wilkins' birthday happiness was riding on the release of this movie in theaters?
Like, this is just like so, I'm so mad. Like, I hate like trying to be in entertainment and living over here.
Yeah. I mean, like, on one hand, it's like, Well, it's nice. I don't have to pay for it. But on the other, I can't believe that you have to wait until after the theater run. That could be like 3 months.
Yep.
Minimum.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
I know. Well, awful. You know, I might get it around the same time as Lady Bird and The Mountain Between Us, which I'm also waiting for.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, anyway, exciting times for those of you who get to see it.
Well, we're going to wrap things up with a little bit of TV news here. This is really exciting for those of you that were huge fans of Big Little Lies, which is, of course, HBO's runaway drama hit from last year. It was originally meant to be a miniseries, but, you know, this was kind of like the award show darling, and rightly so. We finally learned via The Hollywood Reporter that HBO has officially renewed Big Little Lies for season 2. The second season is comprised of 7 episodes, and according to sources from THR, they were actually waiting to announce this because they were looking for a replacement for director Jean-Marc Vallée. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. So he's not going to be directing the second season. He was the director on the first season. And they found their director in Andrea Arnold, who is best known for winning an Oscar for the short film that she directed and wrote called Wasp. So it sounds like they found the perfect fit for this. And it's kind of nice to know that they care. Yeah. But, you know, it's like nice to know that they wanted to wait to make sure that they had the right fit for this because, you know, they understand the importance of this particular story that they're telling. And we also learned from this announcement that Arnold will be joined by screenwriter David E. Kelley, who's returning to write the 7 episodes that will be comprised of the second season. He served as screenwriter for the first season, so that's kind of good. Sounds like the tone is going to stay very much the same in terms of the script. And then they also gave us a little tease as to what we can expect from season 2. So according to the statement HBO released, they said that the second season will explore the malignancy of lies, the durability of friendship, the fragility of marriage, and of course, the vicious ferocity of sound parenting. Relationships will fray, loyalties will erode, the potential for emotional and bodily injury shall loom. So it sounds like we're in for another intense season of Big Little Lies. Currently, Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon are both set to return to reprise their roles, and everybody else is expected to return too. It's just a matter of negotiating those contracts. But yeah, good news for those of you that are really looking forward to more of this story.
Yay! Exciting! I should catch up on this one. It's on my epically long list. Oh, speaking of TV shows that we need to catch up on, what a beautiful segment. All right, so we have to move into TV show of the week, and I will let you go first, which is another show that I have yet to catch up on.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a little update that I finally finished powering through The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel over on Amazon Prime for us in America. And I think anywhere else that that's the only place it's showing. Yeah, I know. We talked about this before show started, and Selena was telling me that they don't get Amazon Prime in Denmark, and that's really sad because there's some good content on there. But yeah, like this, oh my gosh, I'm so in love with this show. The season is only 9 episodes long. They are 45 minutes, but like, oh, it's so, so good. I don't think you even really need to be a fan of Gilmore Girls to enjoy it because it's a completely different story. Although if you are a fan of Gilmore Girls, you are going to recognize Amy Sherman Palladino's stamp on this because quite like Gilmore Girls, everything moves really fast. Everything's really fast talking. You have a lot of really charismatic characters and stuff like that. But yeah, I've talked to people that like have never watched an episode of Gilmore Girls and they're completely in love with the show. I would say the pilot is a little bit slow because it sets everything up, but after that, it's like full steam ahead. And it's so great that I actually started rewatching it because my brother's watching it now. Because he heard me talk about how much I loved it and a few other people that he, you know, trusts opinions on talk about how much they loved it too. And it's so funny to watch it with him because obviously he's coming at it from a guy's perspective and this is all set in the believe it's set in the 50s or in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, kind of like the injustice of the idea of a single woman, you know, like not being able to survive without a man or something like that. He's got like a lot of really funny comments to say about that. And he's like so appalled that she's so wonderful and actually marvelous. And, you know, but everybody thinks that she needs like this guy to make her better, like, you know, to make sure that she's okay. But Midge, who's the main character, is just like, you know, she's kind of like this comet of energy and like really doesn't need anybody. But yeah, so it's just been really funny to watch it with him and like kind of hear his little side comments and stuff like that, because he's watching it with a completely different lens than what I watched it with. And yeah, it's just been really great. Aww. So if you're looking for something to binge and you do have access to Amazon Prime, I really hope that you take a moment to check this show out, because it's amazing.
Awesome. And then mine is one that I can actually watch because it's on HBO Nordic over here. And it's Marvel's Runaways, which just had its 6th episode aired a couple of days ago. I believe it was called I've never said that word out loud before. Metamorphosis. That's the one. they didn't say the title out loud in the episode, clearly. It was a very, very good episode, though. They all went to a fundraiser, and the stories are heating up. That Catalina, is that her name? Katharina, something like that. Her story is really interesting, because obviously she must be one of, if not the first, like, LGBT character in a Marvel sort of more like mainstream TV show. So that's fun to see. She's coming into her own. Alex is a little bit shady now. I'm a little bit worried because he was my favorite. But now, like, one of the others whose name I can't remember, she's like a little bit suspicious of him. So I'm like, I wonder what's going on. And actually sort of funnily emerging from the sidelines is the other boy. Oh, Carolina was her name. But Chase, I think Chase is really sweet. He's like the jock guy, but he's just so, like, I don't know, awkward in a way that I really appreciate. So he's really sweet. The parents, though, like, I still really struggle to like most of the parents. You know, like, I really think most of them are genuinely just real, basically evil. You know, like, one of them, I think Chase is... dad, obviously Spike, he's not evil. I don't think he's evil. I think he, as far as I understand it, his like anger issues and the issues he had like stemmed from a condition he has, but I'm not totally sure. So I don't want to like absolve him of his sins, but that was the way I read it. But like his wife is like not a character right now. She's like completely uninteresting. And then Nico's mother seems really evil. Her father seems nice. Her father and the scientist couple, they're the only ones that like genuinely seem like nice people. So I'm very, very curious to see if I'm going to start warming up to some of the other parents. I'm just going to be team kids all the time, which is very unlike me. So I don't know how that's going to go. But I'm really, really, really enjoying this show. I think it gets better with every episode, and I get more and more invested in the characters and their different dynamics. And they're very, very good at giving the different, because there's like 14 main characters in this show, and they're really good at giving all of them relationships to everyone else. So you get little moments that reveal just what kind of relationship like these two random people have, and how far it goes, what secrets they have with each other, what understanding they have with each other, what bond they could potentially forge. I really, really appreciate that, because I think that's like what makes the series the most enjoyable to me. It's feeling like all these characters are connected in some meaningful way. So yeah, really loving it. Are you still keeping up with it?
I am. I'm two episodes behind right now, but just because I've had a few other things to do, I haven't really been keeping up with my TV. I'm also behind on Once Upon a Time, Riverdale, and The Walking Dead. So I guess it's the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel marathon that I decided to have twice. So.
I know. That must be it. It's taking up too much of your time.
Yeah, but I'm really happy that you're watching it, enjoying it too. And I think, like, I totally agree. We talked about this last time too, but just the way that they're able to seamlessly make sure that all of these main players are getting the screen time that they need to tell the story is absolutely amazing considering how many characters are in this story.
Yeah, right, exactly. Great show, can highly recommend, and I would love to get your thoughts on it, listeners, if you have seen it. And moving on to listener feedback now, we have some tweets and a couple of emails to get through, so why don't you start with the first one?
All right, sounds like a plan to me. The first tweet comes from Laura Morrow, who says, I have been gone so long thanks to grad school, finally submitted my final exam. What
Yay,
should I watch,
read?
Yes! What should I watch, read, or see? Go!
Well, Star Wars.
Yeah. I enjoyed Thor. I tweeted that back to her, the new Thor. Selena was kind of indifferent on that. Lady Bird, if it's near you, wonderful. All of the TV that we just talked about, so Runaways and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I would say, Laura, I think you would really like Runaways. If you haven't seen it yet, you definitely should. I think it's right up your alley. And you, she's a Gilmore Girls fan too, right? I feel like she
is. I think so, yeah. Okay, then you'll love Marvelous Mrs. Maisel if you have Prime. And if not, and you haven't used up your, I think you get a free trial, like a free 15-day trial or something like that. It's worth checking that out. And then if you have some extra time, Mozart in the Jungle is also on Amazon Prime, and it's great. Love that show too.
We have actually a couple of listeners sent in suggestions for Laura as well. So Tucker Conley says, what about the new Hey Arnold Jungle movie for us 90s nerds? There's new Black Mirror episodes that come out on December 29th, as well as The 100 and Wynonna Earp. If you haven't seen them yet, I'm sure she has. But actually, I'm not sure. I'm just guessing. And La Niña de los Gatos says Stranger Things, Supernatural, Expanse, and read Turtles All the Way Down by John Green. The Expanse is another one I have to watch. Ah, I actually did watch Supernatural this week, by the way. It was very good. It was the finale, the mid-season finale, and they are beginning to set up Wayward Sisters, which is their female-led spinoff. And that one looks really, really good. Like, they are assembling an amazing cast. And I think that everyone, like, I'm going to watch it, obviously, once it becomes available, but I have a feeling that you don't need to be a Supernatural fan to watch and like this show. Sorry, that was a rant.
No, that's good to know. I'll keep that in the back of my mind because I haven't watched Supernatural since like the first season aired on CW. It's been a while. Alejandra Claro says, yes, it was me who wrote the really long Coco email. That was from last week's episode. She continues, I didn't realize until after I had sent it that I didn't sign it. Thanks for reading. Smiley face.
Oh,
this is a good email.
Yes, it was. And Amanda Miller says, have you ladies seen Dark on Netflix? It reminds me of Stranger Things, the OA, and I'm not sure what else, but I am hooked and I'm super confused in a good way. Highly recommend. P.S. New-ish listener, love the show. Yay! Thank you for joining us.
I know. I always get so excited when I find out that we have new listeners because I just, in my head, we just have this little community and it never grows, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm glad there's more of you joining in on the fun. I haven't seen Dark, but my friend Noelle was asking me about it because she says it's so, so good. So I'm going to, this is also on my Netflix queue and I'm going to have to add it to my list.
Yeah, for sure.
We have another tweet here from Laura who says, I wanted to offer my thoughts on Angel and Buffy. I'm doing a rewatch with another podcast. I'm assuming that's rewatchable.
I'm guessing
our sister podcast.
Yeah. You can say their name. It's okay.
She continued. Yeah. She continues, I never saw Angel and I am now watching for the first time. I think Buffy can stand on its own, but I'm enjoying the show and I did not expect it. So maybe that's the key because I also didn't like Angel the first time I saw it. So maybe if I go back and watch it now, I'll enjoy it a little more.
Yes, no, absolutely. And this is good feedback too, because it kind of aligns with what I said when we were talking about it a few weeks ago, which is that Angel is a very different show from Buffy. And just because you love Buffy, if you love Buffy, it's no guarantee that you'll like Angel. But there is it does offer some things, like surprisingly good things in the first couple of seasons, especially that in some ways goes a little bit beyond what Buffy did in certain aspects. So I would definitely give it a chance, but I wouldn't feel like anyone should be forced to watch Angel. Like, if you don't enjoy it, you don't have to watch it. But if you do like Buffy and you like those characters, because there's more than one Buffy alum on Angel, spoiler alert. So if you want to see them carry on and have stories of their own, then definitely don't hesitate to check it out, because it might be that you really like it, like Laura did. So yeah, thank you for that feedback. We have a couple of emails too. We have one from Rose Eggleston, who says, "Hello, ladies. Listen to the latest episode, number 170 today, and I wanted to say something about the Frozen short that played before Coco, which I have yet to see. It will be airing on Thursday, December 14th, that's today, on ABC as a holiday special. I have to wonder if it was planned or if they just decided to do this in light of the controversy. I have to say that I have watched season one of Merlin, stopped there due to making Christmas gifts, and would not have been able to give it proper attention. I love the show already and even enjoy how similar in style it is to other shows like Xena, Hercules, Legends of the Seeker, etc. I can't wait for your specials. On a slightly unrelated note, I just became a Patreon, admittedly for the Merlin extras, though I have been wanting to support for all year. Thank you for the edutainment, and I eagerly await your next episode. Rose." First of all, thank you so much for becoming a patron. We appreciate that so, so, so much. And we hope you appreciate the Merlin stuff that we will be putting out. And, you know, it's so funny that she brings up Xena, Hercules, and Legend of the Seeker. I was a huge Xena fan, and I also enjoyed the heck out of Legends of the Seeker. And I've never made the connection until just now how similar Same. Those shows
I'm
are.
I'm thinking about, like, one monster in particular from season one.
Uh-huh.
That is, like, definitely straight out of all of those.
It's so funny because, of course, yeah. she's 100% right. Like, that is the style of the humor and the visual style and yes. the action. Like, it's just the same.
Yeah. But much like Harry Potter, like, as they get older, it gets a little yeah. bit darker. Oh, but yeah, the first few seasons are, like, definitely for the kids.
Definitely. But, like, in a fun, action-y way. Because I think, I wouldn't necessarily say that Xena or Legends of the Seekers is for kids only. But there is that campy family action, you know, the way that they shoot outside, that style that goes across those shows. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it totally opened my eyes to that one. But, yeah, it will be. We'll be excited to see what you think of the show as we move into the later seasons as well. Oh, and is Laura again? This is a triple yeah. Laura threat this week.
I love it. We've missed you.
Yeah, you're making up for lost time.
Yeah, Laura wrote in a little bit of a longer comment for us via email here. She says, "Hi, ladies. Just wanted to drop you a line. I finished my grad school degree for educational theater." Congratulations, by the way. That's really impressive. She continues, "It has been a super long process, close to 3 years, but your podcast has been one of the constants in my many commutes to and from both grad school and student teaching sites. You have been with me on my highest days when I nailed a teaching day, to my lows when I did not even want to go back to the school I was teaching at. You both have been there with your well-rounded news and fandom content that always puts a smile on my face. It always feels like I'm listening to friends when I listen to your thoughts. Also, I know both of you are very, very big Tamara Pierce fans. I got to see her a couple of months back, and boy, is she lovely in person. The event was so much fun. I'm not sure if you're aware, but her new book, Tempest and Slaughter, comes out in February. It is book one of the Numenera Chronicles, following Diane's husband in his youth. Just wanted to tell you thanks again for always being in my ears. Now you will be in my ears as I job hunt starting this spring." This is such a nice email. Thank you, Laura.
I love this email, mm-hmm. and I'm so glad. Thank you for sharing your experience. I know we requested that you did when we found out you were meeting Tamara Pierce. I'm so glad that she was nice in person, that you had a good time. And I actually was not aware that she had a new book coming out. I also have a little bit of a confession in that Dane and Numair were never, like, necessarily my favorite ship. I don't know. I didn't ship them that much in the wild, what is it called? Wild Magic. But, I mean, I love Tamara Pierce, and I would be interested to see how I would read a series of hers now at this point in my life, because I read all the ones that I read when I was like in my teens, you know, my mid-teens. So it's been a long time since I've gone back and read them since, but like nostalgia wise.
Yeah, yeah. Much so, like, I feel like Tamora Pierce for me is very similar to how I feel about Meg Cabot, which is that mm-hmm. I read a lot of both of them when I was younger. And I haven't really picked up a lot of, like, their new releases, except for Meg Cabot continued her Mediator series, and I loved that. It was kind of like coming back to an old friend. So maybe that's what this will be. Might have to pick this up in February.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, too, for, like, letting us know that we have helped you in some way. That's, like, honestly, like, that's the biggest compliment we can ever get for this show. And Selena and I always talk about the things that we do to like de-stress or like not think about crazier things. So it's just like really humbling to know that we can be a part of that for you. And good luck with job hunting. I know mm-hmm. you'll do great.
Yeah, you will. Mm-hmm. All right. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in your feedback. We want to hear from you guys about everything, but specifically about Star Wars. So if you have any thoughts on Star Wars, The Last Jedi, or if you have any thoughts on the Disney merger or J.K. Rowling's response or any of the TV shows or anything else we talked about, then you can send in your thoughts to us by emailing us hype@hypeable.com. You can send us a tweet, which is @HypeableHype on Twitter. You can go to Hypeable, which is hypable.com, and leave a comment in the podcast section. You can also visit our Instagram @HypeableHype and our Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And then you can let us know what you thought, and we will bring it up next week. If you are a Patreon subscriber, or if you are considering becoming a Patreon subscriber for $2 a month, then head on over to patreon.com/hypepodcast. There is where you will find our flashback bonus segment where you can hear me and Pam in 2012 squeeing about Merlin. And you can also listen to our discussion this week about the Golden Globes 2018 nominations. Until next time, have a wonderful week and enjoy The Last Jedi if and when you see it. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
I am the last Jedi.
No! Plot twist.